Hello, and welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast. I am Margaret Katz-Kann, and I'm here with my friend and intrepid warrior, David Landuli, and on the occasion of the almost last day of the year.
Yes, yeah. Here we are, the eve of New Year's Eve.
The New Year's Eve,
Yeah,
yes.
New Year's Eve. And Margaret and I, before we got on the podcast, thought we might sort of look in the rearview mirror and talk about something that happened in the past year that around leadership and something in the in our windshield for 2025 around
Absolutely.
who we're becoming or who we want to become. And this is to prompt you to do the same reflection as well.
Yeah, there's
Yeah.
something about being intentional, right? Sometimes it helps us learn the lessons a little bit more succinctly and completely when we take a minute to really reflect and kind of be intentional.
Yeah.
And when we talk about looking through the windshield, I think both of us are a big on New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, that's a big I agree. So we're going to talk and we're going to invite you to consider, this is very different from what you'll hear probably on any other podcast, to be honest. Yeah. Who do you want to be or what? Yeah, it's a way of being in 2025 from which your goals and your doing can flow. Yeah. So why don't you go first? I know you have something. So we'll start in your rear view mirror, Margaret, since you came on the podcast with a topic and before the podcast, so why don't you share first?
Okay, I'm going to start and just a little heads up. This is an emotional topic for me, so I'm gonna just launch in here, which is that before we started the podcast record, Dave and I were talking, and I was saying like this is my first New Year's Eve since my father passed away. He passed away at the end of October, and I know holidays are hard for those of us who have lost anybody that we love. But this was my dad's holiday, so it's just he is very much on my mind at this moment in time. And I'm going to say the thing in my rearview mirror that I am most proud of. It wasn't just this year, but there was sort of a culmination of it is that like many of us, I had a complicated relationship with my dad, and it caused me a fair amount of angst and rage and all of those things for a really, really long time. And I made the choice. I mean, we always have a lot of choices, and it felt for a while there like my choice was to estrange, like that, the damage sometimes to me was so great. Or to figure out how I could be with him in a way that was more peaceful. And so the thing I'm proud of was the amount of acceptance that I came to embrace in that relationship, so that we finished our arc together this past year in a place of peace. And I feel
Yeah.
extraordinarily gratified. I mean, there's a huge like, oh, thank God, it's thank God I got to experience that. And so I do, I feel really proud of that.
Yeah, I just want to acknowledge you, Margaret, for your intentionality with your dad, around. I know we talked a lot prior to, his illness and decline, and then during, and then after. And you were very intentional in your choice.
And I talk about this through the lens of leadership, because I think for both of us, always in a coaching engagement, difficult people come up, right? And it might be a parent, it might be a child, it might be a coworker or a boss or your next door neighbor. I mean, but always difficult people come up, and there's always a lot of choices to be considered. But always one of the choices is, what would it be like if we could really accept this person, right? And stop the suffering of trying to get them to do something different, right? And it's a perspective, and it's a leadership journey. to get there, but it comes up all the time.
Yeah, just accepting people for who they are with all of their, all of our messiness.
Yeah.
Right. And Margaret and I, some time ago, earlier this year, did a podcast on forgiveness, which got a lot of downloads and had a lot of listening. And but we're not necessarily talking about forgiveness. I'm not hearing that here. I mean, it could go that far, but it's just acceptance is, you can get a lot of peace from just accepting people for who they are, who they aren't, you know.
Yeah. And it means
Yeah.
putting down this hope we have that things are going to be different based on
Yeah.
zero evidence. Like, why would things be different? They've always been this way. This person has always been this way. And so for me, I found when I would go into interactions hoping for some new, amazing, interaction or kind of conversation, like, who the only one who was upset after those conversations? Well, that would be me, right?
Yeah, right.
So.
Yeah, also done this practice, and not going to name names here right now, but someone in my life in a similar way, a tricky person for me, and just accepting that person for who they are, and not expecting anything different, and the relationship seems to have shifted. Did you find that the relationship shifted a little bit in the final months as a result of your acceptance?
Yeah, absolutely. Because even though I think, I can use, I am using my dad as an example, him being him, like he was often, I think, really puzzled by what would make me upset. Right.
Right.
And as soon as I got upset, of course, the whole, tone of the conversation would completely shift. And I might just be upset or hurtful. I might be like, you can't say that. You're like trying to change him or how he saw something. But either way, he would have experienced those conversations as veering, very unpleasantly off the
Right.
tracks. And so, yeah, when I could just listen, nod. I mean, if I needed to excuse myself, I would excuse myself. I mean, it wasn't like I had to sit in the room and suffer with something, but it was that decision kept all the my drama, my upset, my railing, like it just there was not space for it because it wasn't having any impact.
Yeah.
It just got us both
Well,
upset.
yeah, you and I recently trained a very senior group of fundraising leaders in our Being a Mega Gifts fundraiser program. Very, very, very powerful, very impactful. And part of what we do in there, we come into even donor relationships with, and we have all kinds of judgments about donors,
Yeah,
right?
some
And
do.
part of the work that we did with that team and that we do with all the people we train is like just setting aside that judgment. It's a form of acceptance when you set aside, your shoulds, when you turn on people.
And you should on people, exactly. Don't do
Yeah.
it.
When you stop shooting on people, like the relationship gets better.
Yeah. And it doesn't always mean that it's better in some way that you fantasize it being better,
Right. No, it's
right?
different.
It just takes the charge out and it gives you something
Yeah.
new to work with.
Yeah, I like that. Anything else you want to say about your rear view mirror of 2024 and that leadership
I
experience
guess
for you?
no, just that it lands me here on this day on, what I perceive to be my dad's favorite holiday, like just getting to miss him, which is actually a beautiful space for me,
Like that. I would say that a year ago, if you were contemplating your father's death, that you would not have said that you were going to miss him.
I knew that I would miss him, but I think I would have predicted that it would have been still wildly complicated and it would
Yeah,
have still
exactly.
felt like a giant weather event.
Yeah.
with high
Ah,
wind and deep water.
Exactly. Like a hurricane. Yeah, that's great. Acceptance. Beautiful. Definitely a leadership context. We as leaders, we think our job is to, change everything.
That's true. And come to find out, when we stop trying to change people, sometimes they surprise us, not in the ways that we fantasized about. I can't say that enough, but that they turn out to have skills or softness or ways of being that are actually beautiful and have currency when we stop trying to change them to be something different.
I would also say by your acceptance of your father, your there's something about acceptance and transformation. Your relationship with him actually transformed.
I would say that that's true. Yeah.
But first you had to accept.
Right. And there was a huge gift in, getting all this time of peaceful, just getting to show up and be there and taking the fighting and making him wrong and him making me wrong, like all that got to be not in our space anymore. Thank God.
Thank God. Beautiful.
How about you,
Well,
David? What's in your rear view mirror for I know this is going to be a whoo.
180, right? It's more so. Some of you out there in the audience know, and certainly Margaret knows that I just about a week and a half ago or so, I received my black belt in jiu-jitsu, which was Margaret's like, and that was the culmination of a leadership quest that I declared a little over 9 years ago, very intentionally. Again, this is about being intentional as a leader, not knowing. And this is the other thing, like when you set out on a quest, which is like a, it's a wildly ambitious goal, let's say. I kind of knew that that's what it was. And I knew that the journey was, I mean, when I declared it, I was like, black belt in 10 years. I knew it was going to take that long, but you never really know what you're getting into until you get into it. I don't care if it's a fundraising campaign or if it's a summer vacation. You really just d don't know. You're like, oh, yeah, we're going to go on summer vacation and it's going to be lovely for 6 weeks all together. And then summer vacation happens.
And then dot dot dot, yeah.
So I, a lot of blood. A lot, literally blood, not metaphorically, blood, a lot of sweat, a lot of tears, all of that. And so for me, it is a culmination of a dream that I had as a boy to be a martial artist. So it only took about 50 years for that thing to come about. That was about when I was like 12, in the 70s. Now I'm aging myself. But I declared that quest at 52, got started in it, and completed it. A lot of breakdowns along the way. Breakdowns and breakthroughs, I would say. I would say, I really wasn't enjoying it till the last 2 years. That's something like to stick with something for 7 years. And not really enjoy it. I mean, there were moments, but for the most part, it was pretty unpleasant,
I'm not sure what the leadership lesson exactly is there, because it could be any
Perseverance.
number. Well, let me say it could be any number of leadership lessons, but I'm curious, what was your leadership lesson from sticking with something like that?
I certainly have depths. I now know that I have depths of grit and perseverance that I didn't. I know I had some, but that this took something extraordinary beyond what I already had. So that's the other thing about a quest. It's going to stretch you beyond what you're currently capable of.
Yeah. I feel like you're also naming, just again from a leadership lens, this learning to differentiate, right? That sometimes we do things and we enjoy them and we're in our zone of genius and they flow and they're easy. And that's a great space to cultivate as a leader. And sometimes things just suck. And it's a really good time to be able to change your mind or to stop or to walk away from something. But you're describing something different. Where the outside part wasn't that fun, but you were enchanted and intrigued and fascinated by something you were learning about yourself.
A lot of learning. It would have been easier to quit.
It would have been easier to quit.
So there's something, I'm actually paying for this.
In flesh as well as dollars.
You said to people, I did the math on the day before I was going to receive my black belt. I calculated how many sparring rounds were going to be underneath that black belt. It's about 9,000 sparring rounds.
You got tackled, grappled with, thrown to the ground.
Smashed, smothered, choked, arm
9,000
locked.
times.
Yeah, 1,000. Yeah, and about 7,000 of those were me getting smashed. Yeah,
Yeah.
seriously. Yeah, so
I
it
want to come back in. Like, what was your wisdom that like you knew that this was important, even though it wasn't fun? Tell me more about that.
well, it's a good question. A quest is, there has to be some kind of value behind it, or some kind of, like, there was just that vision that had been, that dream, right? That had been born 50 years ago. And then somewhere got lost in life. But then it reemerged. And this happens to people. I'm not like the only person to ever speak about this. And so I think that that dream kept me going, and throughout. And towards the end, in the last 2 years, when things started, this is the other thing. We talk about 10,000 hours, so the equivalent would be like 9,000 sparring rounds, right? But at some point at that 7,000 mark, right, it became zone of genius, where most people, I think, don't just step into their, I mean, some people do, like they step into something and it's they're great at it, and they it's very enjoyable, but it's just not how it was for me. And for most people, I think that's true. If your fundraising, for example, is in your zone of genius, I suspect in the early days for most of you, it wasn't that easy, enjoyable, fun, it. And if you've been at it for 10 years, you might be really enjoying it now,
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was something about knowing that, or at least not knowing, but holding that this would become enjoyable, but not knowing when or how, or you just kind of just have to keep showing up and grinding it out sometimes. That's just was the experience for me. But knowing, and there were some glimpses. So I will say this also about any kind of thing you set out on like this that's hard. There are glimpses. You get little peaks of what's possible. And that also kept me going.
Yeah.
So a little bit different than your rear view mirror. And I'm not one of like Margaret and I do a lot of work around positive intelligence coaching, and we're both trained in this. And Shirzad, in his new version of this, talks about celebrating. And I'm just not a rah-rah kind of guy, but I will say it was incredibly satisfying. Incredibly satisfying. And I would always, I would also use the word, I'm just proud of myself that I made it.
And as well, you deserve to be proud of yourself and celebrating. It's a big accomplishment. And I've seen a lot of the bruises and the scrapes and the.
And heading for a knee replacement that wasn't caused by jiu-jitsu, but certainly was a contributing factor.
Yeah. So here's the question: are you going to start eating carbs next year?
No way.
No
No
way.
way. No way. I like my lean physique.
All
Keep
right,
some more. I am
excellent.
going to put some more weight on. I'm going to be eating some more protein so I don't get smashed as much. So let's look in the through the windshield. What's down the road for you? Now we're going to shift to looking toward 2025. And again, we encourage you to look back on the year. Something in my case, celebratory. I'd say in your case too, also celebratory, Margaret, but a
Absolutely.
different emotional
Absolutely.
field around it.
Yeah,
You know,
that
like
celebratory.
what are you most proud of from 2024? All right, just do that exercise. What pick one thing.
Something different. I thought that's what I was just talking about.
Yeah, no, now going into
Right.
2025,
Okay.
we're going to do something different. Like, who do you want to be in? Like, what quality of being do you want to embody this year, Margaret?
So I love doing I participate with somebody who is a mentor and coach for me named Rachel Jane Groover, and every year she does this sort of meditation in which you open yourself to receive a word for the coming year. And it's sort of a different take on it because it's not like I decide, it's like what does the universe want me to be thinking about, or is this the word that kind of has some vibration for me? And my word that came to me, I participated in this, I guess it was just last week, and my word is spaciousness. And my brain was throwing all these other words in there, like peace. I just want some peace this year. And then I thought, no, wouldn't it be fun to have sparkle? Wouldn't that be a great year? Sparkle, a great word of the year. And no, I think my word is in fact spaciousness. But I think spaciousness can it can encompass all of those things.
I was going to say that. Spaciousness is so spacious. It could involve sparkle and peacefulness and a whole bunch of other stuff. So as you look forward, like, how are you going to hold that? Like, first of all, you're a master at holding space, but maybe not so much for yourself.
Harder for ourselves. I mean, I think for me, spaciousness, it holds this sense of not forcing things, of letting things unfold, of always trying to reach for curiosity over judgment, right? Because as soon as we judge, the space closes. So it's really cultivating the qualities in myself that open the space as opposed to shutting down the space, right? Like, can I be less reactive, and can I listen? Can I self-manage when that is the right thing to do? Can I feel delight in, just what can I do to create more as opposed to less space in a room, more oxygen as opposed to less.
Yeah, I love that. Mine is like a subset of yours, I think. My word, and I haven't usually. I didn't do a meditation for it, but I was reviewing my kind of vision board, which usually has like an intention in it. And as I was always doing that and creating my vision for 2025, the word patience came to me.
Yeah,
Patience, you know?
patience.
Yeah.
So I want to say first, look, I think all words are the perfect word, but I also just want to name that, having so recently come to the end of a big, giant, audacious quest of a journey, right? Sometimes it leaves people like you celebrate, and then sometimes it leaves you with a little bit of emptiness, right? Because
Yeah.
it's been such a driving force, and it's been part of your life and your body and your time and your diet and your hopes and your leader, right? And then that, like when you take
Everything.
away that goal or when you meet that goal, what's there? And so my curiosity for you is, how do you think patience helps you to navigate?
It's the perfect word, right? I'm feeling that anxiety around, just as you know, around that gap. So I'm just being patient. I don't know what's next, if there is even a big something next. I am aware that I, as I mentioned, and you know, I'm going for a knee replacement, and it's already required some patience dealing with the medical industrial complex. I still think the thing still isn't scheduled. So, I mean, this is going to be a year where I think patience will serve me well. And I've been cultivating patience. My father was a very patient man. My mom was a very impatient person. And
Yeah.
I got more of that from her.
Yeah.
You
What does
know,
it
so
feel like
if.
when you're being patient? Like, what are the qualities of patient for you?
Well, this is relatively new, Margaret.
The hell knows? I'm just hoping, right?
I'll say something, but for a long time, you know, having a sense of urgency served me very well, you know, in terms of getting things done. But the thing about patience is, as a way of being, is that you can't do patience.
Can't force
And
patience.
I was thinking about this, like, could I be urgently patient or patiently urgent?
So
I was like, I'm already
you're off
up
to
to
a
it, right?
perfect start with the word
Yeah.
patience.
Yeah, no. I was laughing at myself. I was like, oh, maybe I could be urgently patient.
Well, when you imagine what it felt like to be your father, to be patient, like
Yeah,
what
he was very
characterized that?
peaceful. I think peaceful is one of the things that, he was very, I don't know that I ever saw him anxious about anything, you know. And we joke, you and I joke about one of his favorite expressions, you know. His favorite expression was like, we'll see.
We'll see. It's going to be David's tattoo if he ever gets one.
Maybe my tattoo, we'll see. You know, he used to just let things unfold. And so more of that is in store for me this year. And yeah, I think that it's a good, in some senses, that could be the big ass goal for 20.
That's right.
You were to frame it that for me, that's actually quite a stretch
It
to be
is.
patient. But I will say, you know, for folks in the audience, I have been on this path for a while, but really to live it this year. And already that word, every time I get a little bit like, you know, anxious about, you know, the doctor's offices not communicating, the stuff not getting there, I just like, okay, patience, patience. This, you know,
Yeah. It
it's a
almost
helpful word.
sounds like a cousin of self-compassion.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, being hard on myself. Yeah, I do think being patient with myself would also serve me, especially as I go through the recovery and the rehab, and you know, wanting to get back on the jiu-jitsu mat and being patient there. You know, so yeah, it just this is it's a good word for me for. 2025. I'm looking forward to it, and I know I'll fall down many times, and just say, okay, be patient. Yeah, it's a way of being, folks. It's not anything you can't do patience.
Not exactly. Yeah, not exactly.
You can get like, oh, I'm gonna, you can get all like, oh, like, it's today, you know? Let's get out there and shit. No, that's not how it is.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
requires an inhale and an exhale, and then another inhale and another exhale. Yeah.
Even patient breathing is good. By the way, I was in yoga today, just on that note. And I noticed like that it really is. My breathing can really slow down, even more so than a lot of the people, you know, in the room who are like, oh, wow, why are they breathing so anxiously? I was just like so chill and just breathing in and breathing out. That's a good way to live.
Absolutely. Well, there it is. When I ask what patience feels like, there you've just named
There it
it.
is. There it is.
Yeah.
Long breath in, long breath out. There it
Yeah.
is. All
Feels a bit
right.
more chill. Yeah.
So there's a little something you can go put into practice during this week of the new year. Look in your rearview mirror, celebrate something you're proud of, and look through your windshield
Right. And then
and
remember you're driving and put your eyes ahead of you through the windshield and think about this
exactly.
coming year. Yeah.
Yeah. And come up with some way you want to be.
Yeah. And then talk about it with somebody because I think that helps journal about it or have a conversation with somebody. So I think when you name it out loud, that it has power.
Right. So we're gonna Margaret and I are gonna post this in LinkedIn. You know, we'll publish the podcast will go live, and then we'll put it out on LinkedIn. Just, you know, put your words in the comments
In the
of our
comments, we
posts.
yes, please share. We would love to hear your words.
So that's coming for you shortly. So if you don't follow us on LinkedIn, please follow us because we always post the podcast, and we're gonna try something new this year with a little like video snippet from our conversations, which we hope you'll enjoy.
Sounds good. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year, and we'll see you all in 2025.